The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Brian E. Lau, creator of Staunch Ambition, and you are listening to the PBD Cast by John Orwater. Orlando? Yes, John Orlando.
Welcome, wrestling fans, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 145. I hope that the snow and the wicked weather out there hasn't caused you too much problems, and I know I've said that it seems several times in a row on the last several episodes of the PVD Cast. Man, oh man, it's been a tough winter, but you know, spring is on the way. So it's not a big deal. If we can muster enough courage to get through the next couple of weeks of winter, I think that warmer weather will be headed our way. But hey, let's talk about this episode, and let's talk about the guest that's joining me. He's a man that I know from lots of different places. War Wrestling, OCW Wrestling, New Ohio Wrestling. And the man I'm referring to, of course, is manager extraordinaire Ripper Blackheart. Ripper's coming on to share some stories and to talk a little bit about his career, as well as to mention that we are both going to be on a big show this weekend, February 10th. New Ohio Wrestling presents NOW6. 7 o'clock is when it starts. It's at Groveport, Ohio's own Groveport Madison High School, and it's a great opportunity for you to catch some great wrestling and also help out the Groveport High School band. So, Rupper's coming on here. We sat down via Skype, and we talked a little bit. So, I'm not going to waste a lot of time. I'm just going to go ahead and jump on into that conversation right after I tell you that this week's episode of the PVD Cast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVD Cast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you an opportunity to check out their service. I've mentioned before that they have tons of pro wrestling books in their catalog. I guarantee you, no matter what your interests are, no matter what the topic is, they have a book for you. So all you got to do is go over and check it out. And again, to download your free audiobook today, all you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast for your free audiobook. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I am joined by Ripper Blackheart as we're going to talk about professional wrestling. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the PVD Cast, sitting down here via Skype with manager extraordinaire Ripper Blackheart. Ripper, how are you this evening?
I'm doing good tonight, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, it's been a frightful day in terms of the weather, as we were talking off air. but, you know, other than that, doing well.
Go ahead. It's your show.
Hey, man. Hey, I was just going to start with the question I ask everybody. How did you get started in wrestling?
Oh, I've told this story many times, too. It all started with a radio commercial. I heard War Wrestling putting on their first event at UAW Hall in Lima. So me and my buddies, he's like, hey, I got with him. I said, you want to go to this? It's independent wrestling. We always wanted to check out independent wrestling. We never did. And this was shortly after WWE bought out WCW.
Okay.
And I was a huge WCW guy, so I was not happy with the current situation and looking for something else. And I thought maybe this could be it. So I got a hold of my buddies, and they said, yeah, we'll go. And the wife said, well, if you take us out to dinner first, we'll go with you. We all went to the first event. It was packed. We went eight, and I thought, you know, doors open this time, but we can wait another half hour. We got there, and we got like maybe the last five seats in the building.
Was this at the UAW Hall in Lima?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was at the UAW Hall. It was the first show they ever did. And was just impressed that this was, because I'd seen, like everybody else on the internet, independent wrestling, what it looked like, you know, three or four rows of chairs, guys wearing clothes from Hot Topic, and, you know, all the horror stories that you know that goes with independent wrestling.
The broke-ass ring that looks like it was from 1968.
Yeah, it's got, like, holes in the canvas, and duct tapes covering the holes, and the duct tape's all frayed and all that. But I was impressed, and they had a program, and in the program had, you know, contact information and how to get a hold of them if you wanted to do anything with them. And at the time, I was doing my own comic book, and I knew tons of artists and whatnot, so I thought, and plus, between me and my brother, we knew like half a dozen bands. I thought maybe they may be interested in that, so I emailed Big Tom, telling both those things, and he's like, we should talk, here's my number. I called him, and then 3 hours later, that's right, first phone call with the guy, never met him in my life, on the phone with him for 3 hours talking about wrestling. Next thing you know, I'm next show I'm selling tickets, putting up posters, setting up, I'm tearing down at the end of the night. And then about the third show of his business partners left him high and dry. They left him, they hadn't paid the bill yet for like the Time Warner Cable advertisement bill.
Mm-hmm.
And they stuck him in. It was like $700 some. So me and three of my other friends, we kind of took their place. And for like, it wasn't quite a year before I started doing anything, but for almost a year, still selling tickets, doing posters, tear down, set up, running a merch table, running a camera, whatever. And I came up with the Ripper Blackheart character. And Tom liked it. And first thing he had me do was do like a Piper's Pit type thing in the ring. I'd do an interview. We called it Ripper's Ring or Ripper's Rant. By the way, never has it successfully started and ended. At some point, somebody comes out, something happens. We've never completed a thing of that ever. But start with that. Then we got TV. Dusty Dillinger was commentating, and he brought me in as the other commentator. So we was on TV there for like a year. We was on like Sunday mornings on back then it was the UPN.
Oh my.
Okay. Yeah. Kids, you don't know what UPN is? Yeah.
I know.
Kids, you don't know what UPN is? Google it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Wow. But that's a blast from the past. UPN.
Yeah. We was on UPN on Sunday mornings, so I was commentating there, and then we did an angle where I was with Steve Stone, where I was interviewing him in a Ripper's ring, and I was just being a jerk. I'd ask him questions, and every time he'd answer, I'd pull a mic away, which eventually led to him giving me a lariat and knocking me on my ass, and from there... I started bringing guys in to take out Steve Stone. Next thing you know, I'm out there all the time. And so on and so forth. It's been over 14 years now that Ripper Blackheart has been out there.
So I'm going to go back to something you said originally here real quick. Just a few moments ago. You were a bigger fan of WCW than WWE?
Always, because WCW was born out of the NWA.
Okay. All right. So you were an NWA guy.
Yeah. And to me, NWA was just, it was always better to me. My dad always called WWF the circus because it was cartoony. They had cartoon character. It was over the top ridiculousness. NWA, the Four Horsemen followed Dusty Rhodes into a parking lot, beating with a ball bat. That was, to me, way cooler than, you know, Doink the Clown and some of the other goofy stuff they was coming up with. I mean, the horse, when I hated the Horsemen. Oh, I hated the Horsemen. Loved Dusty Rhodes, Magnum TA. Oh, yeah. Kids today. Magnum TA, if he was taking on a jobber, that match was not going to last more than a minute and a half. When WWF, guys like, supposed to be the Intercontinental Champion, and some guy shows up in a sweatshirt, and it's taking him 25 minutes to beat this guy. Come on. Magnum TA, dude, you show up against Magnum TA, the U.S. Champion, you're just getting punched, kicked a couple times, throwing your rope belly to belly, and that was it, brother. You're going home because you're not Magnum's caliber. He's U.S. champ. Your guy came there in a members only jacket.
Yeah. All right. NWA was I watched WWF too, but I also liked I was more preferential to World Class personally.
We just watched World Class. I watched NWA. We watched AWA. We watched Global Wrestling Federation. You named it. Some houses have religion. We have pro wrestling.
So your dad liked it a lot then.
Oh, yeah. If the cable was out on a Saturday and wasn't back on by 6:05, somebody was getting a nasty phone call at the cable company.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, you mentioned a couple of your favorites. You were a big fan for Dusty Rhodes and Magnum TA. Any others?
The Road Warriors, still my all-time favorite tag team. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. Preach.
That's how I was introduced. I didn't even know about Black Sabbath until the Road Warriors, and they came out to the Iron Man. I'm like, oh my god, what is this? Like, you know who Ozzy Osbourne is? Like, yeah, I know who Ozzy. He used to sing for this band, Black Sabbath. That's Black Sabbath. And like I said,
that was the same with me. I can't believe you're actually saying that. Same with me, because I had no idea. I kid you not. I'm not bullshitting you. That was the same thing with me. I was like, who is this Black Sabbath? And I had a buddy say, dude, it's Ozzy. I'm like, what?
Yeah, there's so much. Because back then they could come out to the music that you heard on the radio and that you buy the tapes of bands and stuff like that. And yeah, when we got cable, I was fifth, sixth grade. So getting to see them guys and the NWA and all those other wrestling, they're coming out to that music. Kind of what got me hooked into that too, you know, because that the metal and hard rock of the 80s, that's what these guys were coming out to. And they were, to me, they were the closest thing to real life superheroes, man. Like I said, I used to do my own comic. I'm a huge comic book geek. And to me, pro wrestling has always been like a live action comic book. Mm-hmm. And it always follows, if you look, they follow the same trends too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Rush, that was the other band I discovered thanks to Kerry Von Erich.
Yes.
So, I mean, I was like, who's this? And yeah, that's really coincidental, that same experience with me. So can we talk a little bit about your comic book? What was your comic book called? What was the little summary of it, if you will?
Well, we had, there was three to four of us that were working on this thing. It was Black Market Comics Presents. We were Black Market Comics, and our motto was the greatest comic book company you've never heard of, that never existed. That's what it is. Greatest comic book company that never existed. And it had two stories in it. It was Mr. Happy, the Clown Prince of Pain. He's a homeless guy in clown makeup that defends Cardboard City in New Jersey, little bum community. Somehow he crosses paths with the mafia and some kind of black ops death group, but you find out that he used to be part of it and he was a special agent. It's all kinds of weird stuff. You think you're going one way with it, went another. Then the second one, which a lot of people really liked, was called Antisocial. And how I best describe him is he's the Punisher on welfare. he was part of a super soldier program. It was during the Iraq War. He comes back, but the government thinks he's dead. He comes back. His father owned a gun and ammo store. So his father passes. He takes over the gun and ammo store. And that's how he gets all his weapons. His mask is basically he ripped off the bottom of his shirt, cut some eye holes in it, wrapped it around his head. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that came out of us.
Do you have any desire to go back and get back into it?
Actually, I am working on a webcomic. I don't know if you know Jeremiah Young.
I do not.
He used to run Bizarro.
Oh, yeah, yes. Okay, that guy. Yes, I do know
who you're talking about. Yes, he is starting up a web comic company, DDK. I don't know if you remember DDK.
Mm-hmm.
He's also involved in it. But I'm providing a story, wrestling based as it may be, as coincidental. It's called The Mask of El Muerte Rojo, ooh, which translates to the Red Death. He's a Mexican luchador who ends up crossing a drug cartel. They murder him and his family. Aztec god of death brings him back to life so he can get his vengeance, and tells him as long as he wears his mask, which he was the Red Death, as long as he wears that mask, he is invincible and cannot die.
Oh, okay.
So,
and when's that come out? Or have you guys, are you guys still
in the... We are hoping sometime next year. Okay. Everybody's in the early stages of it.
Yeah.
But that, I've also completed like a one-shot called... Doc Devil and the Monster Squad, where they take on paranormal cases, and you got like Frank, his best friend's Frank Stein. It's actually Franklin Stein. There's a witch who she looks like a cross between a cat and a human because she's not a very good witch, and she tries some spell and she's stuck. There's a Grim Reaper in it and a Nephilim. And I finished that story, and I sent it to an artist, the guy I went to school with, who works for the art department at Ohio State.
Okay, all right.
So,
favorite comic books? I mean, I go on record, I have lots, and I am very behind in my reading because just life is busy. But what's your favorite?
Comic not only story? That, it's not only that, it's like sensory overload when you walk into a comic book store.
Oh yeah,
now, dude. It's,
oh yeah, I agree.
But Batman's all-time favorite superhero, but I try to find stuff that's more independent stuff because, to me, them guys are more creative. They're taking more risk and stuff because they're trying to get noticed. So I definitely like stuff like Nemesis. If you ever read Nemesis, he's like the world's first supervillain in his universe. There's no superheroes. It's from the same guy who created Kick-Ass.
Oh, yeah, Mark Millar. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Stuff like that. Like, if I go to Comic-Con, all the underground and indie presses is a lot of stuff I buy. As far as reading stuff, like, I get way behind. I get to the point now, I just wait to get all into a trade paperback.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
And just grab it. The Hanna-Barbera stuff that came out there not that long ago, I thought was great.
Oh yeah, so, yes. I've not picked up any of those, but I definitely am interested in a few of them.
Yeah, because I'm a huge Space Ghost, Mark. I love Space Ghost, and as soon as I seen that they're going to do that in a serious way, I was like, "Got to have." I just recently, I think last summer, I got the miniseries that Alex Ross did all the covers for back when DC put out a miniseries of Space Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's stuff like that. I like to get the oddball stuff now. When I was a kid, it was strictly superheroes, but anymore, I'll read just about anything. My brother got me hooked on Preacher when it came out.
Oh.
He was like 12, 13 issues into it, and he was like, you got to read this. I'm like, it's not really me. Trust me, read it. And I read it. I'm like, this is the most effed up thing I've ever read in my life. There's no way it could get worse. And then you get into the next issue. It's like, oh my God, it's worse.
You know, I love Preacher. I'm a huge mark for Preacher. I have the first three issues. I managed to get their second prints. But and one of my prized possessions is number one is signed by Garth Ennis because I met him at New York City Comic Con about 7 years ago, 6 years ago.
I love him and Steve Dillon's stuff.
Yes, man. Yes. I was really kind of sad when Steve Dillon died. I couldn't believe that because their run on Punisher was phenomenal. Loved Preacher. I'm a huge mark for Ennis. Anything he does, I'll read.
Yeah, and most of the writing stuff I do, writing tends to go more that way.
Yeah. All right, well, let's transition back to pro wrestling here for a moment. So I'm going to throw out a controversial statement. You tell me whether you think it's true or false. I think there's a lot of people that might say anyone can be a manager in pro wrestling. True or false?
That is false. Okay. I used to think that.
Okay. What makes a good manager? What qualities do you have to have?
For one, you got to have a personality. If you have no personality, then you're not even going to remotely get anywhere. And you got to not be a fan. There's a time to be a fan and a time not to be a fan.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many guys that do this that they're still in the fan mode. I mean, there's been lots of people over the years that's helped us, and they can't separate when it comes time to show being a fan and doing what needs to be done. I think you better have some thick skin, because you're going to get called, if you're a heel, you're going to get called every name in the book, brother.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, when you started doing the Ripper Blackheart character, was there somebody that took you under their wing and said, look, here's a few things you need to know about, such as, you know, you got to be able to put up with the shit that people are going to give you, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
That part was never a problem with me, but as far as etiquette and how to conduct myself and all that, Big Tom, Dusty Dillinger, Little Tom, that we also, Dexter Dementia, guys like that, Stamp Lickage, you know. Mm-hmm. When I was first starting off, all them guys had no problem. Tom brought me in, but all them guys had no problem with me being there. Really made me feel like I was a part of it to start with, and pretty much told me the do's and don'ts and what not to do and what to do. So I was very fortunate in that aspect of it.
Is there anything you won't do in order to get heat? In other words, is there a line you don't cross with the fans? Because
haven't found it yet.
You have. I was gonna say, as a heel manager, you know, you have to push the buttons of the fans. And is there anything that you would say I'm not gonna do X, Y, or Z, but anything else is good?
As of right now, I really haven't found that yet. And plus, gotta know your audience. I'm not gonna, you know, if it's a family friendly show, I'm not gonna be out there dropping F bombs.
Sure.
And
yeah.
Whatnot. But I got a story actually started a few years ago about that I punched a baby in the crowd.
Wait a minute. Wait, that was a story, correct? Let's make sure that that's crystal clear to all the listeners. This is a work of fiction. It did not happen.
not exactly. I didn't actually punch the baby. What had happened was it was in Lebanon, Ohio. We were doing a fundraiser for, I believe it was Relay for Life. And I was managing Sherman Tank and Chris Hall at the time. They was in singles matches, and I can't remember which one was at the time, but they were wrestling Aaron Williams. When he was on the outside of the ring, I went and slammed Aaron's head into the table there where the timekeeper was and the bell ringer, and tripped over his foot and went into the crowd and just stopped myself short, and I'm face-to-face with this baby.
Oh, man.
Woman in the front row holding a baby. But then all of a sudden the baby realizes and just screams its head off, and it's bloody murder, and the woman's all upset about it. And so I get in the back, I tell security, go check on that baby, whatnot. They tell me it's fine. So for the rest of the night, I gotta go out there like two or three other times. So I go out there, I find that woman, like, you better keep that baby away from me. I don't want that baby. The baby's looking at me cross-eyed. As it keeps up, I'm gonna hit so hard that his baby teeth's gonna come in and come out. You know, I'm just giving this woman all kinds of business. And then from there, I don't even remember who put it up, but somebody put something up that I punched a baby.
Oh, man. And
I just went with it.
See, you're braver than I would be. I wouldn't even go on that side of the ring. I would have been scared.
Oh, I would have been so scared after that. I made camp there. I knew I had it there. So,
what's one of your favorite towns to work in?
Oh, of course, Lima, because it's so easy.
Mm-hmm.
So easy. Same with Akron now that OCW's moved to Akron. Them fans are just as easy as the Lima fans. Always go to Akron. Another place you go to is Hamilton, Ohio for, get this, Christian Wrestling Association International. I am part of a Christian wrestling promotion.
That might be the biggest news coming out of this episode of that of this podcast.
Yeah. Cody Hawk pretty much he does the bookings for it and whatnot, and it's not like what you hear all the other ones. There's no prayer at the beginning of it. They're not trying to convert you to Christianity. Okay. It's just old school 80s type wrestling. It's a show you have no problem taking your 5-year-old to or your 75-year-old grandmother to. Very character driven, and all the shows are they take donations for the local food bank. So,
wow, that's good, man. That's nice, man. I like that. Giving back. That's always what I enjoy about pro wrestling is when you get the chance to give back. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about some of the folks you've managed. And I'm going to be honest. I have like 4 or 5 names, but I know there's probably 20. So feel free to throw out the ones I'm overlooking. And I don't wish to disrespect anybody by overlooking anyone. But Chris Hall, Sherman Tank, you've mentioned. Grant Andrews, who's over there in OCW now. Dexter Dementia, also Mr. Old School. Mr. Main Event, correct?
Yes.
Trick Nasty. Nate Mattson?
Never Nate Mattson. Okay. But I was honorary part of the Michigan Invasion once. There was a tag team tournament. Eddie Venom was supposed to be tagging with Jamie Cox. Jamie Cox couldn't make it. And somehow, some way, I got plugged into that. It was me and Eddie Venom, which I still claim we are the only undefeated tag team ever in war history because we had the one match and nobody beat us. Okay. But not Nate Mattson, but I've managed back when it was the Old School Empire. I had, like you said, Mr. Old School, Mr. Main Event, Jock Sampson.
Oh, yes. I forgot about Jock Sampson.
Big Guns Jeff Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome Derek Gary Dawson, which is the brother of Mr. Main Event. Mitchell Taylor over in Fort Wayne. Brutus Beefcake, one time. I managed him one night in Converse, Indiana. That's like the only name, if you don't follow wrestling closely, anybody's going to really know.
How was that experience? How was that to work with Brutus Beefcake?
Really didn't talk much to him until it was time to set up the match. He was too busy telling Hulk Hogan stories to anybody who would listen. I mean, he wasn't even telling his own stories. He's telling Hulk Hogan stories.
Okay,
you know?
Okay, man, that's weird. Okay, we'll go with it.
And nobody came around him until he unzipped his duffel bag and pulled out a case of Bud Light and he started giving guys beers.
Oh, well, okay, well.
Then, you know, everybody couldn't wait to talk to him. Yeah, but I managed Papa Dingo and Tanu for a little bit, mm-hmm. Roots. Man, there has been a lot.
There has been, hasn't there?
Just recently, Chiron. All the dirty. Orlando Christopher, Austin Mannix, Idris Abraham, Brandon Edwards, Jake Something, who was the longest reigning and most dominant war champion of all time. I know I'm forgetting somebody. Brandon Day, recently I've been managing him. So, yeah, tons of guys.
All right. Yeah, I'm being honest. I was trying to make a list the other day, and I'm like, I know there's more, but I just, geez, you've managed a lot of people over the years. Yeah. So.
Oh, and I better not forget the OCW Women's Champion, Laura Lovelace, or else.
Oh, she'll give you flack for that. Yeah, you'll never hear the end of that. Well, let's talk a little bit about Trick Nasty, the man that you're managing here, that coming up in a couple of days, fans are going to be able to see him and you at NOW6 in Groveport, Ohio, this Saturday night, Groveport Madison High School, 7 o'clock is when the matches start. So how's it working? How's your relationship, your working relationship with Trick? Is he easy to work with?
Trick is very easy to work with, and I've had a couple people that showed up, like Big Tom, he showed up and he said, you two just look so well together. It's like you guys been together for a long time, and we've only had a few matches together as manager and wrestler. I mean, he probably one of the easiest guys to work with. He's got the bag of tricks with him all the time, so there's plenty of stuff for us to work with there. And
he's a veteran too. He's been around for, I want to say, 15 years. He's been around, you know, the block quite a few times. And
I'd always heard the name. Yeah. I'd always heard the name, and it wasn't until now brought me in that I'd actually got to meet him.
Mm-hmm. So are there any other matches you're looking forward to at Now 6 other than the match that you're involved with, which is, of course, Daniel Winchester's taking on Trick Nasty? Is there any other matches that you're looking forward to?
You mean there's other matches ones concerning my client?
Yes, there are other matches besides the one that you're involved in.
I don't know why. I mean, everything's going to be downhill after that. I mean, he's going to put on a clinic. Daniel Winchester, he's supposed to have this amateur wrestling background, but kid, this is professional wrestling, son. I'm going to learn.
I'll tell you right now, the one I'm looking forward to the most is, I think, the one that's going to be the most brutal, is I think Juice Jennings against the baddest man alive, Aaron Williams, in the no DQ, no count out, anything goes match. I think that one's going to get way out of hand, and I think someone's going to end up getting hurt.
This is like the third time they're heading up together, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
The second or third.
I think it's the third, and you know, there's no love lost between them.
The last match was very good. I mean, I went, snuck out of the locker room and went up above and watched it and was thoroughly impressed with how hard both men went. You know, the baddest man alive, Aaron Williams, always on his game. And I've been kicked by him, and it sucks. So, and Juice Jennings, ever since he's turned this, he's way better now. Not caring about the fans. He's got a killer instinct. He's getting much further now. Look, he's holding championships now. You know, I like this new Juice Jennings. And if that's the Juice Jennings shows up, it just might go in his favor, because he's just, no pun intended, he's nasty.
Yeah.
You know?
Without a doubt, with that new attitude, he certainly is that. Are you looking forward to being in Groveport, Ohio?
I could take it or leave it.
I thought maybe you would not enjoy the fine fans of Groveport, Ohio.
Well, I know we had some issues the last time. Mm-hmm.
They'll warm up to you. Is that what you're saying?
They said some things. I said some things.
Okay, so you're going to leave it all in the past.
We'll see. I will only retaliate. Every action has a reaction, Groveport. Just remember that.
All right, let's go back to and talk a little bit about our fandom of professional wrestling. Who do you think is the best manager in the history of pro wrestling?
In the entire history of pro wrestling?
Yeah.
To me, it's a tie.
Okay.
Bobby the Brain Heaton, because he has a manager, not a wrestler, not a guy in the ring, but as a manager, he could get people to a stadium.
Yes. I agree wholeheartedly.
With his promos. And I think the same can be said about Paul Heyman.
Oh, okay. All right. That one was a little bit of a shock, but I could see where you're coming from. Okay.
Most of the time, you know, sure, Brock Lesnar is a spectacle and a thing to see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But who is it that makes you want to see it?
True.
Paul Heyman makes a match, makes you want to see the match even more. When he comes out, they don't even bring Brock. It's like 3 weeks of just Paul.
True. Yeah, most definitely. He can talk asses in the seats, that's for sure.
And people eat it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who do you think is the worst manager of all time?
Oh, does Ralphus count?
Ralphus, I would count, sure. I'll count him. All right, we'll go with him. I agree with you. I think Bobby the Brain Heenan is the best of all time, hands down. For me, I think Paul Jones was the worst manager. I mean, Paul Jones, look what
he had to work with.
Well, I understand that. I understand that.
I mean, Jimmy Hart ended up getting Paul Jones there at the end because he had the Dungeon of Doom,
yeah,
which was basically the Paul Jones army. I mean, it was the same concept. Here's a bunch of guys we don't know what to do with. Here you go.
Yeah.
But Paul Jones did manage Manny Fernandez and Rick Rude, who were the NWA Tag Team Champions and beat the bejesus out of the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, I think that was the only highlight, though. That was the only highlight in terms of who he managed. I will say this, though. I've heard a lot on other podcasts where Paul Jones is a topic of discussion. And, you know, I've gone back, thanks to the WWE Network, and I've checked out some early Mid-Atlantic wrestling. And I will say that Paul Jones is a hell of a worker. But just as a manager, he was terrible. I was always bored by him, even as a little naive kid that had no idea how this business works. I found him boring.
I didn't like him. He annoyed me probably more than any of them.
Oh, see, I didn't. That's to me. He didn't get any reaction from me, and that's why I say he's the worst. I'm like, you know. Well, let's talk real quickly. What advice would you give somebody breaking into the business that wants to be a manager? What would you say to him?
Here's the thing. I lucked out in the route that I took.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to have some longevity in it and be respected and whatnot, you should go and get trained like a wrestler gets trained.
Okay. All right. Good solid advice there.
Even if you can't do it all physically, you'll have the understanding and you'll be able to grasp what it is that your part is in a match. I mean, so many times there's stuff that I get asked, well, hey, Ripper, why don't you have a t-shirt? And I'm like, was there a Jimmy Hart shirt back in the 80s? Was there a Bobby the Brain shirt? No, that is not my job. A manager to me is a tool.
Yes, totally agree.
I am there to get somebody over, to get a match over, to further a storyline. That's something else. You have to understand what it is you're supposed to do. It's not, as a manager, it's not about you most of the time. I mean, there's like this certain storylines I'm in. I get portrayed as the mastermind of the evil or whatever. That's, you know, that's fine because that's coming from the promoter and whatnot. But I saw a ref with promo picks at a show one time.
Oh, man. No.
Yes.
No.
Why do you have promo picks? Nobody cares about the ref.
Yeah.
I had someone send me one time because I've always said something about the t-shirts. You know, people ask me why I don't have a t-shirt. And I'm like, because I'm a manager. This guy's a security guard for a promotion. Has a t-shirt.
Ugh.
A ring announcer has a t-shirt. And I'm sure once their friends and family buys their shirt, they probably got the rest of them left over. Because you're not the one they're there to see.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to see the living, breathing superhero, supervillain, not the manager, not the ring announcer, not the security. Hell, I've been appropriate. They've got ring girls. Nobody. Yeah, they're nice to look at, but they're not the reason they're here. They're here for professional wrestling and the professional wrestlers. And as a manager, it's your job to get that over. It's your job to get a wrestler over, a match over, a storyline over, the promotion over, whatever it is the promoter tells you they need you to get over. That is your job.
There you go. Simple enough, folks. Simple enough. All right, I'm going to close up shop I'm going to throw a curveball at you, Ripper. Here we go. Normally, when I have somebody on and they compete in the squared circle, we play a little game called Tag Feud or Job. But since you, as you just mentioned, are the manager, the man in charge of getting over a storyline or a match or a wrestler, I'm going to take that same concept and I'm just going to deviate a little bit from it. So here's how the game is played. I'm going to ask you to pick one person that you've managed, okay? Then I'm going to give you three tandems of people, wrestler and a manager. I would like you to select one of them that theoretically you could work a program with. Now, many of these folks are from yesteryear, so when I mention them, I'm talking about them in their prime, not as we know them today. Okay?
Gotcha.
All right, here are your three choices. First of all, you know what? I'll give you the three choices, then you tell me who you're going to pick as your wrestler you'll manage. The three tandems that you could work with in a program. We're going to go way, way back and say Arnold Skolin and Bruno Sammartino, Captain Lou Albano and George the Animal Steel, or Sir Oliver Humperdinck and Bam Bam Bigelow.
Ooh. Well, I definitely ain't old school enough to work with Bruno.
Okay.
But Albano and Humperdinck, I could definitely see going back and forth with either one of those. I'll go Captain Lou, and who'd you say he was?
George the Animal Steel.
Oh, yes, of course I can do.
Who would you pick to be the wrestler that you would have in your corner?
Everybody I've ever managed, who would I pick? That Mr. Old School, of course, against George Animal Steel.
Somehow I think those two would match up very, very well.
Oh, yes. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Well done. Well done, sir. So Captain Lou Albano, George the Animal Steel. Well done. I like that. All right. Well, as we're getting up to about 40 minutes here, any social media outlets where you can be found, or I guess I should just ask, where can people find you on the internet?
Just look for me on Facebook. I don't get Twitter because that's how the government finds you.
Oh, that is a conspiracy theory I've yet to hear.
Oh, Trump's on there all the time. Come on.
So you think because he frequently tweets like a 22-year-old drunken frat boy that he's using it for some nefarious means?
You're being very generous with the maturity level. Yes. I just stick with Facebook. Apparently, my MySpace is still up. I go back there every once in a while just to see if it's still – there's tumbleweeds going by, but it's still there, but – There is a Ripper Blackheart fan page on Facebook.
All right. Well, there you go. And don't forget, you could check out Ripper Blackheart, of course, Trick Nasty. In fact, a few other folks that we mentioned, Brandon Day, a whole host of wrestling, professional wrestlers, excuse me, this Saturday, Now 6, New Ohio Wrestling, Groveport Madison High School, Groveport, Ohio, 7 o'clock this Saturday. Come on out and check out not only Ripper Blackheart, my guest here, but of course his man that he manages, Trick Nasty, Brandon Day, Aaron Williams, Juice Jennings, Marion Fontaine, a whole host of great wrestlers coming to Groveport this Saturday, and we'll look to see you all out there. So, Ripper, anything else you want to say real quick before we close up?
Yeah, I mean, give independent wrestling a chance. Don't believe all the horror stories. Just find a good one. New Ohio Wrestling is a very good promotion to come see. You can bring your kids to it. You can bring your grandparents to it. It's just an alternative to what you see on TV, but I promise you it is just as good. And plus, when it comes to Now, it's a charity show. It goes to the school, goes to the band. Other than that, keep watching wrestling, people.
There you go. All right, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up this episode. So, please, stick around. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Ripper Blackheart. I'd like to thank him one more time for coming on the PVD cast to talk about his wrestling career and also to talk about the big show that I'm going to be a part of and that he's going to be a part of this Saturday night, February 10th, 7 o'clock. New Ohio Wrestling presents NOW6 at the Groveport Madison High School in Groveport, Ohio. It's going to be a night of great wrestling action. It's going to be a night where we give back to the community of Groveport, helping out the Groveport High School band. So come on out if you get the opportunity. Catch some great wrestling action. And hey, if you need any information about it, you can get in touch with me. And let me tell you how you can do that. You can drop me a line via email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter, @pvdmvp. You can leave me a message on the Facebook page of the PBDcast. That, of course, is facebook.com/PBDcast. And don't forget, you can get this podcast a variety of different places. Of course, you can get it at pbdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Google Play, Pod Paradise, or the Echo Network. But whatever way you get the PBDcast, please rate, review, subscribe, tell a friend or two, because I would greatly appreciate it. And with that, I'm going to mosey on out of here, so I will chat at each and every one of you later. And until then, stay righteous and stay independent.